right now.
11LRNI. Now the lights dim low. Soon we'll start the show. Here comes LF Network.
Doesn't that fuck your head up? Anyway, welcome to the Midwood Files on a Saturday night. I've got nothing better to do, and I'm feeling, I don't quite know how I'm feeling. It's kind of interesting. I had added a new med this week. Halved, meaning 50% of something that I was taking. So I halved one med that I was on, and I added a new med called Latuda, which is supposed to be another stabilizer, another mood stabilizer. So I'm not 100% sure how I'm doing. I can tell you, and I don't normally do it, but that was Leonard Cohen, and I can guarantee you that the producer is going to steal that for something, because that kind of really hits you in the gonads, that one. Anyway, a lot of stuff this week, I suppose. I'm trying to think if there's anything light to get out of the way before that. I mentioned my mood stabilization stuff, and it was warm in here, and I had to turn the fan on. So now I'm a bit more comfortable. And, you know, when I came in to start the show, because I normally upload, I didn't manage to download or... I managed to download my files successfully, would be the way to put it. I didn't delete anything this week, unlike last week. So I guess we're doing better there. But, you know, it's about maybe, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes to the show. And I got the little files, because I'm obviously not doing a whole lot of music these days. I got the little files in their little folder and all. And I go to FTP into the server, and I'm like, not working. You know? So I walk into the studio, and with the air conditioner off, so there's like no sound in the studio, and that's probably the point, because the server makes noise. It's a quad Yorkfield from back in the day, solid chip. Very happy with it even to now. Runs a little hot, but you know, but it makes noise. The damn thing makes noise. So I walk in and I say, you know what, the server's not running. And she's like, oh, look, the server's not running. And I'm like, couldn't you hear that? You're in here all day. All day you're in this room. And she's like, no. So I rebooted it, and it couldn't have been down for long, because I check it every, like, randomly. So whoever might have been trying to get on that thing in the not-so-distant future might have had a problem. But it's running pretty solid. When it is, maybe there was some sort of Windows. It's running Windows 10, so it's probably some sort of Windows 10 update. I'm still toying with Linux. We'll see. I just don't feel well. I don't feel right, would be the best way to put it. I don't know about well. I don't know if it's all well for a long time, but I feel definitely out of sorts. And I don't know how long it takes for medications to do their thing. And kind of blend with everything else. I've been sleeping a fair amount, and I've been getting up. And I did take, I think I took some Ambien last night, but I didn't take it with anything else. So I got up promptly at dinner time, which was basically when the phone goes off and says, dinner's ready. I'm like, oh, okay. So those of you who frequent my Facebook will see that I had Swedish meatballs for dinner. Very good. And it's actually very funny. I got a little Band-Aid on my finger, right? Yeah. So what happened was we had the Swedish meatballs, and it's really weird the way the vents in this house work. I think I've explained to some of you that some of the rooms in this house don't get heat because the vents aren't switched on or whatever that entails. I'm not even 100% sure what that entails yet. But basically the front of the house, which is where the bedroom is, doesn't get any heat. But it also doesn't get smells from, like, the kitchen and whatnot. So you could be in the kitchen, you could be in the bedroom, and you wouldn't smell a thing. And you would step out into the hallway, and you would smell like meatballs. Well, that's exactly what happened, right? So, and that's, like, pretty much normal. But I got this candle. I think it's some sort of pomegranate something or another candle. It's like a Yankee knockoff, you know? But it's been burning pretty good. But it had this little shelf of wax that I just wanted to get rid of so it wouldn't be a problem as it continued to burn, right? So I took out one of my Leatherman. I have multiple Leatherman devices. One of the baby ones. I can't think of the name of them. But I took it out, and I took out what they call the package opener, which is like a hook. It's this little hook thing with a blade, you know? And I'm like scraping away at the side trying to get the thing off, and I managed to cut my finger. And I put a Band-Aid on. And the thing of it is that I normally take a shower before the show. Excuse me, there's the Swedish meatballs. I normally take a shower before the show, and... I didn't, because I put the Band-Aid on first. If I had taken a shower and then put the Band-Aid on, I probably would have been better off. But the candle seems to be burning pretty well. But it's pretty funny because the candle's in the room. And what I did is I blew it out because I lit it. And then I was like, oh, look at all that wax on the side. So I blew it out. So it was kind of like smelling a little on the burnt side, you know, when you blow a candle out, basically. So that somehow managed to waft out like a little bit. So when you walk into the hallway, it smells like Swedish meatballs and it smells like burnt house, because the producer popped her into the room and said, "What's on fire?" And I'm like, "Nothing." Not for nothing, she knows with me, anything could be on fire at any point in time, because I'm just that kind of guy. I'm a lot of work. So my Band-Aid, it hurts, and the room in there smells like pomegranates, and this room smells more like meatballs, and I'm burping a little bit. But the Swedish meatballs were good. We'll be having them again tomorrow. I took a picture, I put them up on Facebook. I think I mentioned that for people who peruse. My social media is over here. When you head over there, lfmidwood.com, blah, blah, blah. You know, this was a difficult show to kind of like think about. I spoke to several people before opening up the microphone here, because I think the vast majority of you are familiar with my anti-Semitism. Some of it being somewhat, you know, some of it meant to be facetious, some of it meant to be genuine. That's obviously for you to figure out. But I was touched by the shooting in Pittsburgh, and I believe the number is 11. You know, and I was greeted with this wonderful news when I woke up. By the way, I'm eating my Swedish meatballs. And did you hear that 11 Jews were killed while in the synagogue at a bris? You ever wonder why they serve cold cuts at a bris? Think about that. Anyway, the idea becomes: I'm sitting there, and I was just getting over the bomber. I think what they're referring, I don't know, are they referring to him as the MAGA bomber, which is really annoying? I'll get to that, I guess, in a little bit. But I want to talk about the Pittsburgh thing, at least in passing. I don't have a lot of information. I know the guy was apparently an anti-Semite, obviously. My basic understanding is I don't know if he was associated with other anti-Semites online. I don't know if they had a page on Facebook. I'm hearing all sorts of stuff. And I noticed that the information was kind of trickling, and a couple other people noticed that too when they were watching their CNN or their Foxes or whatever they were watching. They noticed that the data was trickling, and I was wondering if this is because those networks are controlled by the Jews. Maybe it could be. I think I only have one Jewish listener. I really don't think he cares what I say about the Jews. I'm pretty much sure at this point. I'm pretty comfortable with that with that idea. So I don't think I'm going to scare off my one Jewish listener, but. I was trying to explain earlier today, like I said, when I was on the phone pre-show, you know, and I remember having the conversation when I spoke to, I think I mentioned I spoke to Hank Hayes, like going on maybe 3 weeks, a month ago now, and I touched on my anti-Semitism, and it was like, because we have a couple of friends in common who are Jewish, and I have Jewish friends, I mean, you know, and the idea of it is it's not like I don't focus my anti-Semitism on like single Jews, you know, it would be like, the idea of, like, I have a problem with cats, but not my cat. Do you know what I mean? And I'm almost the same. Interesting, heard a conversation earlier this week with homosexuals and, you know, I guess, Schwarzes you know, people of that nature. I guess if you know someone, it's a different thing for whatever reason. And it's not like I'd have to go back and listen, because I can be somewhat facetious at times. I would have to go back and listen, but, you know, it's not like I ever was calling, moved the microphone. I was ever calling for anybody to be dragged out into the street and murdered. I think what I could say about what occurred, and I believe it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, Pittsburgh time, and give or take, I can certainly understand why there are people out there, why there are individuals out there who are anti-Semitic to the point of murdering someone, of going out and actually murdering someone. I don't know anybody of that ilk. I don't know anybody who would consider doing that. I know I've spoken a lot out. I've spoken out a lot since Charlottesville, and I've said for me, there's a place at the table for those people. Before, I would like to catch someone like that before they went out and shot someone, before they got so jacked up that they actually went out and murdered 11 people. Whether it be the day before, you know, the hour before, the day before, a week before, a month before, there's a place for those people at my table to try and figure out and have some meaningful dialogue, because I like to think that the United States of America is one of the more evolved places on the planet. And it's not somewhere where I would want anyone to be practicing their religion and live in fear of being murdered in the process, whether that be Jews or Christians or yes, even Muslims. I say that with some trepidation, as some of you know. Yeah. You know, I don't think that that's something that I would want people to be living. I wouldn't want to live in fear of it, quite frankly. When and if I ever get back to actually talking to God again, you know, just think of it. You know, if these people, if their ancestors had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they wouldn't even have been in there on a Saturday. Right? They would have been in there on a Sunday or somewhere else on a Sunday. Maybe not even there at all. You know, so isn't it interesting when we look at things and the idea of God's plan and God has a reason and God does everything for a reason. And I'm telling you, man, you better fucking be doing some stuff for a reason. I'm telling you. I just find it tremendously interesting when we think of things in those terms, or when we try to think of things in those terms. And I don't consider it a rationalization, you know. Is there a possibility that God just kind of wound up the, so you can see my hands, wound up like a clock? You know, I guess that would go back to like some of the Masonic stuff where they think that the idea of a deity, where God created all of this, set it all in motion, and then walked away for whatever reason that God decided just walked away. I don't know if I believe that or not. You know, I don't. You know, like I said, I've decided that I am a Christian. I've accepted, I'll look into the camera when I say it, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am mad as fuck right now, which just means that I'm not talking to God right now. That doesn't mean, and I fail to stress this, because I have continually, believe it or not, since I've talked about this about a month ago, gotten some slack or shrock or some sort of noise from people. It's like, well, you spent all that time. It's look, I'm not leaving the organization. The company has great dental and healthcare. Certainly better than the other side, I would suppose. I'm just mad. And what that means is that I'm choosing not to speak to God. You know, we go back to the idea of, I guess, a lot of Jews during the Holocaust, those who survived the Holocaust. And remember, I'm not a Holocaust denier. I'm a Holocaust revisionist. I do not believe that those numbers are accurate. I believe that the numbers that were inflated were used to help the Zionists finally get a state for Israel, a homeland for Israel, you know, homeland for the Jews in Israel. And, you know, I don't think I've ever stated anything otherwise. I would love to do a show on that at some point in time, those numbers. But it's such a complex thing, and the sources for these numbers are so plentiful. That it's a difficult thing to do, and it's not my area of expertise. But you know what? I got to see if I can kick around and see, maybe get somebody who would be foolish enough to go on with me to talk about that. But I don't feel qualified enough, but I do feel qualified enough to say that those numbers were definitely inflated. It was not 6 million Jews that died in the Holocaust. The Germans did not kill 6 million Jews. But of those Jews that survived the Holocaust, a lot of them stopped talking to God. And I'm sure to the day they died, and a lot of those people, I guess once they were children, a lot of the adults, they're up in their 80s now, would be my 80s, in the mid-80s even, they're getting like super old. So I guess children who survived, and there were obviously some, I guess you go through something as horrific as that. I think it's going to give you cause to not want to speak to God. So I think... And I'm not comparing my dilemmas at any given point in time, the misadventures of L.F. Midwood to anyone else's, quite frankly. But I mean, there's just so the point now becomes is that I'm just telling people who were very pleased at my movement to not necessarily panic, because I'm just mad. I think it's tragic. I think 11 people being slaughtered for any particular reason by someone who, you know, in the process of exercising their First Amendment rights is not to be applauded or even rationalized. Like I said, I'm just saying I understand why there are people out there who feel even more aggressively about the Jews and the idea of anti-Semitism than I do. I'm not giving them a free ticket. I'm not saying, oh, well, you know, I'm saying I just understand. It was like almost like the only analogy I could make back in 95 when the Oklahoma City bombing occurred. I understood because I was thanks to Shortwave and Bill Cooper and Shortwave, and I was plugged in to the militia movement in the sense of I was able to follow it pretty accurately and see the crossover between people like Bill Cooper and some of the online preachers. You know, some of the Shortwave preachers were also heavily into I don't know if they were preaching like Christian identity. I should do a show on Christian identity sometime as well too. But my point now becomes is I was kind of able to watch that storm form and then crack, and then culminating with Oklahoma City. I do not believe that Timothy McVeigh acted alone. I believe there was a structure, a subculture, if you will, a substrata that supported him and the other guy, Terry Nichols or Terry McNichols there. I definitely believe that, 100%. And neither of them obviously spoke about that being the case. But there was a lot of people and a lot of money and a lot of support going to various groups on the ground, various militia groups, if you will, on the ground. I get it. I mean, I fully 100% get it. I get the whole 100%. That does not mean that I condone the attack, which obviously was outrageous as far as up until 9/11, obviously the largest attack, terrorist attack on terror attack on American soil. The first thing I asked when I heard of this, and I, like I said, it must have been about 7 o'clock, I guess, was, were there any children killed? And the answer apparently is no, which is something obviously to be thankful for. On the heels of this bombing, these, I don't even know what to call this thing. Were they bombing attempts? That's what we're all left with. I mean, were they actually? Obviously, I mean, there was some intent there. You know, I'm gonna move into this now. I'm gonna close off my feelings, and I may reference it again, but I'm gonna close off my feelings on the murder in the shul as a synagogue. Okay. I'm just going to, like I said, I think I covered it. I mean, I really don't, honestly don't know what else to say. I did give some thought as to how I was going to be somewhat delicate about it. Because, you know, you can arguably say again, oh, you know, what was Stalin with, X number of people killed is, a statistic. And X number of people killed is you don't even think about it. Because it's that large, the number is just so overwhelmingly large. And I would like to point out that Stalin killed a fuck lot more people than Hitler could even conceive of. But anyway, I don't want to get distracted by communism. So it was sad. It's tragic, without a doubt. Now moving into it was really interesting with the bombing thing because it happened. You know, the attempts. You know, the packages being intercepted and the person being apprehended were like within. I was always saying to myself, it's like, you know what, I hope they get this guy before Saturday. And I figured it was a guy. You know, it's like, I hope they get this person before Saturday because I would like to be able to talk about this in some sort of closed, you know, manner, some sort of beginning and end rather than it just being, well, it could be anybody. Because there was a lot of conjecture out there as to who it could have been. One of the more interesting that I found, and not for nothing, this is another thing I have to thank Hank Hayes for, is I've been listening to Lionel, you know, because Lionel's gotten really libertarian right and very conspiratorial. I guess that's his thing now that he's on the internet. I think he's on just little things, and then I think there's a big he does an hour and change at like 7 p.m. on during the week. I think it's Monday through Friday, or they might even do it Saturday. And then he comes back for like little interviews and stuff that he's doing. It's really, really interesting to listen to him. His take on things was, interesting. I'm just, you know, again, I don't want to paraphrase, because again, you can just go listen to Lionel. So I recommend going to, I think it's YouTube. Head over to YouTube and check out Lionel Nation, I believe is what the channel is called, and that will get you Lionel and a lot of what he's been doing for the X year or 2 years or so, or however long he's been back or whatever. But it's fun stuff. There's been a lot of conjecture as to what this person's motivations might be. I initially, and I still have some, I'm still kind of, because I'm just so conspiratorial at nature, you know? The nature of my, it's like, you know, it could be the drugs, it could be my mental illness, but I'm friggin' paranoid. You know, like I said, everybody knows. Anybody who listens to my show knows there's paranoid, and then there's super fucking paranoid. And this is like somewhere between those two things at this point in time. I mean, would it be easy enough just to put it down? Just, you know what, speaking of putting it down, my nose has been bothering me. Side note, I hope it's not a side effect of the new meds. You know, they all have, like, different side effects. I'm hoping I don't get weight gain out of it. I mean, there's a lot of it's, we have to, like, wait and see what happens. You know, I gotta say, just while I'm on a side note about the sneezing thing, apparently, Spatsy has stopped sneezing. That's my larger male cat, as most of you know. And he seems to be perfectly fine. And now the two other smaller female cats are walking around sneezing a bit, right? And when Cornelia, I call her Corny, the little cat sneezes, my little cat sneezes, she sounds like she swallowed a whistle. It's that little, yeah. So I don't even, maybe she's in here. Maybe we can get a, there's some meatballs again. Maybe we can get a sneeze out of her before the show ends. I'm not 100% sure, but it's cute as fuck. It's just the problem is that she's sneezing. There's no runny eyes. Everybody has an appetite. Everybody's running around and drinking water. So there don't seem to be any other ill effects. Very much like there weren't with Spatsy, but I get a little alarmed when my cats get ill because they're the closest thing I'll ever have to children at this point in time. So, and I just love those critters to bits. So, side note over. Got to start doing this side note designations so people don't get confused, because I hate when that happens. But the on the right, the initial reaction to what was going on with the bombing attempts, I guess it's safe to call them attempts, was that it was a left-wing plot. It was 2 weeks before the midterms, which is, you know, makes you wonder. And by all reasonable accounts, it looked like the Republicans were doing pretty good for themselves. Again, I only vote in the Republican Party so I can vote in the primaries, pretty much, because I'm so far to the right, the Republicans pretty much look like Democrats to me. So it's interesting. I and several other people that I know thought that might have been the case, and it's obviously a funny thought anyway. None of it's funny, but I mean, it's funny in the sense of thinking that, yeah, you know, maybe would they do that to themselves? Would they be so far behind? You know, maybe it would just be like some group like Antifa or, you know, or Black Lives Matter or some, you know, left-wing fringe group. And I call them fringe groups because I don't believe they represent all Democrats by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I think I've mentioned that week before last, where I know a couple of few sane Democrats who are not liberals. They don't have any. They don't have liberals out there. They're not infected by liberal thought process. You know, the mental disorder known as liberalism. They are reasonably rational people. I honestly thought that there was a possibility that it may have been the case that it was some sort of false flag, I think would be the term, and I'm still not 100% sure. But, I mean, you know, if we're going to look at it for what it is and the obvious thing that it looks like, it's like, oh, okay, you know. There's a lot of little things out there that people are saying, you know, oh, well, why aren't the stickers this, and how could he have it covered up with not getting a ticket, and boy, it looks like those are all new, and, well, there's been stuff put up to indicate that the van was there for a while, and people have seen it, and there have been pictures of it, because it's pretty ostentatious, I guess, for lack of a better word. So you can flip a coin on that. You know, if that evidence didn't exist, then I'd have, well, they obviously manufactured that evidence as well, you know, and it gets to a point where you have to be like, all right, wait a second here. I think the thing that runs through this is, I think this dude was mentally ill. I really honestly think that this was just someone who was, whether it be that long term, oh, wait a minute, let me see if I can hit a jingle here, just to identify.
This is the 11L Network, featuring LF Midwood.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. That's the way that just cuts out like that. I don't know. I might have killed that. That might have a little bit longer tail on it on the original. I think I might have edited that. Because that could have definitely used a little fade. A little sustain and fade. Like, yeah. Anyway. Mental illness would appear to be the, and I know from whence my mental illness. I know from whence I speak. I've never had the desire to, you know, go out and send bombs to someone or kill people in a house of religion. Never. Definitely had maybe singular individuals every once in a while. Long story. But not in the singular, and I like to think of myself as an instrument of the Lord, you know? Anyway, excuse me. Anyway, I think that there's, and I haven't even, like I said, I've been kind of fading in and out. So notice how I always say I'm just not the most qualified person in the world, and I'm giving you a limited opinion based on limited knowledge, which is really says a lot about me and my program. But it's what I do. So again, if I think people who are expecting something more or less could pretty much, find something else to do on a Saturday night. And you know what? I get people live now. I even have people live. I don't even understand. I go back and I look at it just on a lark. I go, look, there are actually people listening or watching live. I can't figure it out. The hell is wrong with those individuals? But yeah, I think this guy is pretty much a crackpot. You know, I think there's mental illness at work here. Obviously had with the father abandoning, there's some abandonment issues there, and steroid use will, you know, obviously have some ill effect. And yeah, I believe that there was just some mental illness to begin with. They're talking about this guy having the intellect of a 14-year-old. You know, the So, I mean, I guess on whatever IQ, I don't know if they've come out with IQ numbers, if they've tested them or not, but, you know, they've certainly indicated that this was not an adult mind at work, and it was a mentally ill, not adult mind at work, I guess. And we see it time and time again. I mean, the idea of people being crazy and then latching on to some sort of movement or group or some sort of other things, something outside of themselves that, and oftentimes can be parental or family, or at least they perceive it as such. You know, we can talk about Manson and the Manson family. You know, most of those girls were, well, they were young, and two, they were just lost. I mean, if you look at what was going on with the counterculture and the insanity of having things turned entirely, the world was turned upside down, and Manson, he talked a good talk, and walked a bit of a good walk there, and he was able to attract young girls and convince them of that he cared about them. And in some senses, it's almost like, I guess, the phenomenon that occurs with prostitutes and pimps, I guess. I don't really... I'm still watching The Deuce on HBO, so that's why I say that. You know, but there's obviously something broken in these women that would cause them to do that, to go out and prostitute themselves. I was trying to look at something, trying to come up with something that wasn't, prostitute themselves and then turn the money over to quote unquote daddy, you know, who obviously did not love them or at least loved them exclusively. I couldn't understand how that worked, but that's, you know, again, I think that that's also a form of mental illness. I really honestly do. So we have precedent for this. We have precedent for the idea of people, mentally ill people, gravitating towards something that they feel that makes them better or completes them. This guy's lawyer, I don't even remember his name, and I can't even pronounce it. So luckily there's only one of them, and it's easy enough. Something like that. I think from what I've been hearing right away, I think the family lawyer was kind of indicating that this guy saw Trump as a father figure, and and glommed on to him in that sense. And in order to be someone's father figure, generally you have to agree to that. So I don't think that Donald Trump had anything to gain by having this nutball send bombs to these particular targets. Although apparently, according to the mentally ill individual who perpetrated this, their targets were picked based upon those that President Trump had harangued, for lack of a better term, I guess. You know, but that goes both ways, you know. People talk about, oh, he's so, you know, I mean, when I say he, I mean President Trump. Oh, he's so hard on the press, or he's so aggressive towards the press, or, you know, so. But the point is that the press is extremely hard on him, certainly harder on him than they were ever on Barack Obama. You know, this left-wing media is like a mob-like thing, I mean, honestly. So, yeah, you know, people are just going to, everybody's in their camps. It's almost like, you know, when World War One, when things really locked up, you know, and it was just like trench warfare. It's like, we're in our trench and they're in their trench and nobody goes in between, and that's that. And everybody pretty much has their locked opinion. So we got to where we are now, meaning people being encouraged to send, quote unquote, supposedly being encouraged to send bombs to the opposition because Donald Trump is a mean man. That's basically the leftist view of exactly how we got to this point. Obviously overlooking the fact that the mainstream media has been nothing but mean, derailing, insulting to President Trump. And I think one of the main reasons for that is basically because he bypasses them as often as he can. I mean, criticize these tweets as either misspelt or possibly having grammar issues, you know? These are the midnight tweets, what are referred to as President Trump's midnight tweets. I really wish you would have... They should go out. I don't have any problem with him doing them. I just kind of wish that someone would kind of eyeball him, you know? You should wake up the wife and say, does that look all right, you know? You know, just so that they go out in a little bit more, you know, elevated manner than they have been at sometimes. But the spirit of what they say, I have absolutely no problem with. But the point now becomes is that's him going directly to the American people, which is obviously something that the mainstream media has no interest in, and to them there's nothing good to come of it. So their criticism of him just on that level and his ability or desire to respond to them goes on and on and on. And we obviously have this this cycle where, as you said to yourself, well, who's to blame, you know? And we can also obviously look at what has been 2 years of escalated violence by groups like, and again, I talked about this last week, groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter and whoever the hell else is out there. I'm sure there's little fragment groups and just little, you know, the colleges are, I was going to say militarized, but it's not just that. You know, I go on and just about this all the time. Oh, he's going to talk about this again. He's going to say, oh, how the colleges and the college professors are all and the Vietnam veterans, and then they can go to Vietnam, so they went into colleges, and then basically there's a liberal bias in these schools, and they're indoctrinating our children, and I'm like, yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, you can just because someone says it over and over and over again, that doesn't mean that it's not true. That's what I understand what I can think of. Because a person can say something so many times where it's like, oh, yeah, okay, he's talking about this again. You know, it's not like I'm talking about, you know, theories on, you know, how to, you know, one should run their audio or anything. You know what I mean? Those are subjective. I don't think it's subjective that there are... our colleges and even our high schools, as been pointed out, even lower than that now, that they're just like teaching these kids like tutti frutti, and I don't know what's going on. Seriously, it's the public school system is, I think it's pretty much gone, and that's why I've often said, I guess I'm on a little bit of a side note here. I've often said, okay, so if we're going to pull the plug on the public school system, then let's just do it. Let's not do this half-assed thing where it's all public school and then we'll have these charter schools, and then some of these kids from these public schools can go to the charter school. And, you know, it's like, let's just pull the plug. And the reason it doesn't occur is because of all the tenure that these teachers have, these in the public schools. It's all money, and it's all the unions that are basically controlling that. So you'll never really, there'll be like three kids coming into the public schools, and not for nothing, they'll still keep all the apparatus up and running because some friggin' teacher had tenure, you know? So they can duke it out in the teacher's lounge about who's actually going to go in and teach this kid something. And not for nothing, I question the level of education that our kids are getting in public school these days. I still, not for every now and then, you know, I pay attention to what's going on around me. Not often, but I'll be out on those occasions when I do go out. And I'll be trying to listen to what these kids are saying. And I'll hear, like, something coming out of their mouth. But I'll have, like, no idea what they're talking about. No idea. And this goes beyond, like, you know, like Drake and stuff like that. This is, like, you know, honest to God, like, what the fuck? I would even, not for nothing, I would even prefer if they cursed, if there was profanity, which there is, in what they're saying, but there's like no context to it, there's no nothing to it, you know. It's like, it's kind of like some sort of, like, Ebonics have finally won the day, and I guess in the inner cities, I guess Ebonics have won the day. I should do a show on that. I should do a show on a lot of things. All I need to do is make sure my butt is in the chair every Saturday at midnight, and that's it. That's all I'm obligated to do. So, side note, close. Although, I did speak to John Lightning briefly, or I don't know if it was briefly, but, you know, I spoke to John Lightning, like, on, I don't know what day it was, but it was, like, late in the week. And I was, like, I told him that I had accidentally deleted my video archive, and he was horrified, and I told him that, well, the audio was in there, too, and he was even more horrified, and then I told him that I rebuilt it out of the stuff that I had on his server, and he felt better. And then I kind of danced a little bit around the idea of, like, maybe not doing video going forward. And he was like, no, that's not going to be acceptable. You have to do video now. You've obligated yourself to do video. People expect it of you. You need to do video. So I was like, all right, I'll do video. But, yeah, I really kind of wanted to get out of the video and just go back to audio. I don't want to feed back here. But that's not going to work. From the grand poopa, as they say, has put his foot down. So I'm stuck doing video. So, yeah, whatever. Side note closed. I know I was talking about the public education system being gone and indoctrination, and I think weren't a couple of these Antifa individuals the leadership that was I think incarcerated, caught on video, and then later tracked down. Didn't they turn out to be professors? So I don't, you know, I'm not quite sure. And I think there was an Antifa guy who went on with, what's his name, on Fox and got himself annihilated. So, yeah, I mean, you know, my point now becomes is that these groups are, they're ratcheting it up. And they have been for the last 2 years. There's been a fair amount of violence. More of it on the West Coast, obviously. Oregon seems to have gotten, like, pretty well whomped, not for nothing. And again, let's not forget Berkeley 1, 2, and possibly 3. I think there was a Berkeley 3, although it was a little bit more. Yeah. And their presence at Charlottesville was just as aggressive as any so-called, quote-unquote, end-quote, neo-Nazis. So, you know, the aggression is there, and it's been there, and it's obviously, the country is tearing itself apart, without a doubt. And my point is that I think it's tearing itself apart for reasons that have always existed and now have just surfaced. You know, they act like Donald Trump created all this division. You know, you could arguably say, not for nothing, the mulatto wonder created all this division for the 8 years that he spent in, you know, the idea of a class warfare and harping on class warfare over and over and over again, so as to divide us, them. You know, remember the whole thing with 1% and then us, and then you got to get your share, and you didn't do that alone, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, very much like Sally Brown, you know, on the Christmas special coming up. I just want my fair share. I just want my stuff. You know, and for somehow convincing people that they have a right to health care rather than it being a privilege, quite frankly. And they've also managed to convince the rest of the world that they have a right to come to America and be American citizens or become American citizens or not even another, rather than it being a privilege to come to this great land and the great experiment, social experiment, as it continues and sometimes fails. It's crazy. The violence is, and you know what, I say to myself, you know, just when you think it's going to be like, okay, something like this bombing thing happens. And, you know, and again, thank God these devices weren't didn't work at all. They were, you know, Maxine Waters got two. He really wanted to make sure with Maxine Waters. I find that somewhat humorous because I wouldn't mind if Maxine Waters died, you know, but I don't want it to be some sort of act of violence. You know, she's called for violence herself. She's called for, you know, and Hillary herself. I think, again, I feel like this is just an extension of last week's show, which is, I guess, what this is, because it's all meant to flow to one degree or another. This idea of it's okay to be violent. It's okay to not turn the other cheek. You know, it's okay if you disagree with someone to engage in assault and battery. You know, and battery isn't necessarily a physical thing. Sometimes neither is assault, I think, based by some qualifications in California, oddly enough. But just the idea of harassing. You know, and I think the word is doxing. I think that's been brought to us by 4chan. I didn't even go up to 4chan. I didn't go up to 4chan looking at the bombing stuff, and I certainly didn't go up to 4chan looking at the shooting in the synagogue. I was almost tempted to go over to Hate and Flame, which is one of the links. If you head over to the left, right-hand side, as you would face it, of my links section on my front page, but I didn't even feel I had like the energy to do that. I felt it would have been an energy draining experience. And Hate and Flame is basically the old Nimbusters board, so they're probably having a field day this week. I mean, good times, man. Good times. I didn't even have the energy to do that, you know. And like I said, I wish I could just point and say, oh well, yeah. I it's almost like you get to a point where you understand the dynamic of what's going on. Now, I don't necessarily agree. I don't necessarily agree with the left in regards to them holding the president responsible for all of this somehow. Like, you have someone like Al Sharpton. Let me get the bad taste out of my mouth. You have someone like that this week giving interviews and saying, well, you know, there were children in those homes where those bombs were sent. And, There could have been families that were killed and harmed, and the president, he just didn't say enough. You know, it's like the Charlottesville, the initial Charlottesville thing, where they were upset that he didn't condemn the Nazis, or, you know, condemn the neo-Nazis as they were being referred to. Not nationalists, but the neo-Nazis. You know, and now, I can't even say it again. That guy goes back to, you know, what was it? Freddy's clothing store that got burnt to the ground. There was basically a race riot that dude started, and the store got burnt to the ground, and I believe one person died. You have that piece of shit, that fucking piece of fecal matter, having high ground over the president of the United States and making accusations against the president of the United States. You know, and the rest of the country, they don't really look at his background because that was all New York. Do I need to talk about Tawana Brawley again? Nobody ever got a pop. People's lives were destroyed. There was never an apology. I was wrong or it was wrong. Not even he didn't have to, because he was grand poopah nigga. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know what? It's like there's a different standard. It's like we can say whatever we want about you with no repercussions, but you can't say shit about us. Oh, really? I had to get the N-word in, you know it. You know, so it just blows my mind when I see some of these people giving interviews and chiming in with what their opinions are as to why we have the hostile environment that has become American politics in the last year and a half. Or you could arguably say, you know, give it like 3 years, maybe 3.5 years since the campaign, obviously, in 2016. It's insane. It literally is insane. I mean, I don't think it's like, it literally is insane, and I fear for where it's going, and I'm not even quite sure what can be done to prevent it from getting worse. I have no clue. I don't have the slide. I wish I could be able to pontificate, you know, I could be like no. All I can tell you is, you know how like you can smell the ozone when the storm, like a really bad storm's coming, the ozone from previous lightning strikes and whatnot, literally smell the ozone, and it gets like Jesus on a stick dark. You know, that's what's going on. That's American politics right now, and it's spilling over. You know, there's so many people. We used to be like, Oh, I'm not into politics. You can't help but be into politics at this point in time. When someone is alleging, when a mentally ill individual is being alleged, you know, is alleging that he, I had to imagine that he did it to like gain favor in his head, to gain favor, you know, like Hinckley did with Jodie Foster when he shot President Reagan, or who else is out there? I'm trying to think that there was another reasonably big one, but you know, you generally get the idea, where these people are doing things or claiming to do things to impress their heroes, you know. That's the sort of thing you just don't have any control over. I mean, what do you do? You know, if for some reason we were to have a hostile political climate, or if we had had, perhaps would be the best way to put it, under the mulatto wonder, the Hayala president. Hayala, I love that. Side note, Yellow Rose of Texas, familiar with the song? There you go. If for some reason we had a hostile environment, and there were attempted acts of violence during that time period, would Barack Obama have been held responsible? Would he? Do you think the standards, so just that, and that's a great question right there. Do you think the standards that President Trump is held to? Do you think the standards, I'm going to say it one more time, how these drugs are like, they're not held to the same standard. Do you think they are held to the same standard is my point? And I don't believe they are. I believe that considering the mainstream media, meaning the print and a large section of the internet are liberal. The newspapers are all liberal, Jewish owned. They're not, you know, they were extremely sympathetic, extremely. It's not for nothing, right? Even like the Democrats in general, like there are people, I was talking to somebody about this, and there are people, they don't even know that Bill Clinton was, he was impeached. He actually was impeached. People are like, where? Who? Like Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? Yeah, because it just wasn't covered. It was like buried. Speaking of buried, there was ricin sent to several Republicans, high-ranking Republicans, a few weeks ago. Nobody, that story got buried too, like totally buried, buried, done, buried, finished. Like we don't know about it, but somehow, again, it's going to be President Trump is responsible for this bomber. Even the fact that he's called, referred to by anyone as the MAGA bomber, Make America Great Again bomber, MAGA, obviously ties directly back to our president. And it's all his, everything that's going on is a direct result of Donald Trump. And I'm still trying, and this is the thing, man. I know I'm a little off keel in general. I know. I understand that. It's not like I walk around thinking I'm like perfectly friggin' normal and I have a normal perception. I have various ways of back-checking myself, and it's not with individuals because you can't trust people. But I have various ways of doing it. Mostly my cat. But anyway, that's part of the problem. I can't figure out what he did. I mean, I can't. I understand the candidate Trump, and I understand a lot of rhetoric coming out of there, heavy duty, but that's pretty common in regards to candidates on the campaign trail. He's distanced himself from the people that I hang out with, for sure, 100%. Now, while that's somewhat upsetting to a certain segment of his electorate, it's certainly understandable as well, too, not for nothing, you know. Wouldn't want to join any club that would have you as a member, you know? And not for nothing, it's wind up hurting him. All these people that he did have around that was connected, he has to wind up letting go to one degree or another, or they've been either resigned or they've been asked to fired, or however you want to look at it. But what the fuck has this guy actually done? What has he done? You know, I can think of maybe one thing. I think he rolled back some of the stuff with the gay and lesbian crap, I think by executive order, but I think some of that stuff was enacted by Obama under executive order. But considering how many executive orders that Barack Obama initiated, you know, I think Donald Trump has, and he knows he can do it, right? I think he's like hardly scratched the surface. I think he's actually decided to kind of have things work out constitutionally whenever possible. DACA, for instance, right? DACA was basically done by executive order by Barack Obama. But instead of rescinding it by executive order, what did he do? He let it go to Congress, which is where it should have fucking gone to begin with, right? But people are like, oh, well, 100% true. What has he done? It's just, I guess, in here. That's going to be like my, what? That should be a hashtag. What did he do? What did he do? Because I just fail to understand what he's done. We don't even know how this caravan thing is going to work out. And supposedly there's another caravan in Guawawa. Guawarura. I still can't do it. I've been working on it all week. Can't get it done. Sorry. But I think you know what I mean. What has he done? Ask yourselves, what has he done? Now, I know for the most part, again, I'm preaching to the choir here. This is not, I'm not the guy to send out to evangelize. You know, I'm not bringing in new, or old Democrats and turning them into to new conservatives. I think that there was, wasn't there just this big, huge thing out in California where there was a lot of former, what was it, walkaways? I think they call them walkaways. Pretty cool. Yeah, absolutely pretty cool. See, and like I said, with stuff like that going on, that's why it really didn't make sense that a sane and rational conservative or someone purporting to be a Trump supporter would do what this obviously mentally disturbed, keep touching that base, obviously mentally disturbed individual decided to do. So anyway, I'm going to close out. I think I got one tune. I don't know. It looks shorter than it was when I put it in there. So I don't know if it's going to play properly, but we'll see. I thank you all for imbibing. LFMidwood.com. There's stuff there. We're rebuilding video archives, which means we're putting them up as we get them because I don't have them anymore. And audio archives are available all the way through for the last 2 years. There's my social media links if you care to check out my social media, which is very important to me. Even in these rough times that I'm having, I try to be relatively consistent with Twitter and Gab. Obviously, my friends on Facebook know I'm reasonably active. And I like to thank my Facebook friends because they do interact. And it's kind of nice having my radio people around and friends that I've met through them. I'm very pleased with that notion. It's hard for me to make friends. I'm one of those guys. Anyway, head over to lfmidwood.com. There's stuff. You could head over to the John Lightning site. You could actually contact me using the contact form over here. It's mirrored. I keep forgetting. Or you can just send an email to lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. That's lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. All interaction is appreciated and or whatever. I mean, just taking it. I don't do that very often, do I bother to email someone that I've heard a show? I do it once in a while, but not very often. So I understand that it's a big deal and whatnot for the most part. So anyway, let me get this tune up. Have we got this right? Yeah, I'm going to get this tune up, and then I'm going to get the hell out of here. So let me do this. See you next week.
Time.
Been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.